Turn to our memory verse this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we're looking at verse 18 as our memory verse. If you find that, if you stand with me, please. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let's say that again, please. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I hope you believe that this morning. For there is many out there in the world today that think what we're doing today is just foolishness. Get up and come to church and worship God. But that's what it's all about. One more time, please. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. How it is precious to us, and how the cross and the work that was done on the cross is so precious to us. For the Jesus Christ, our Savior, dear Lord, that humbled himself and came to this earth and lived here among us, tempted as of us, but yet without sin, and went to the cross, and all of mankind's sins placed upon him. What a sacrifice. What he gave up for us. We are so unworthy. And if any of us think at any moment of any day that we are worthy of that, we need to rethink that. We are not worthy of Christ's sacrifice for his death, for his burial, and then for his resurrection. I pray, dear Lord, this morning that you would help us to understand what exactly you have done for us and what you're going to do for us and what you're doing for us today. I pray, dear Lord, the Holy Spirit would just be moving among us today, speaking to our hearts, speaking through me this morning, dear Lord, using us, dear Lord, to be your vessels that we might show a lost and dying world we serve the one true God. For it's in his name we pray and ask it. Amen. You may be seated. We have come to the last lesson of this quarter. And it's with sadness I come to this last lesson. I've been thoroughly enjoyed this study. I hope you have. It has been enlightening. It has been hard work, but it has been worth the work. And as we've seen through this quarter, Greek words every Christian should be at least familiar with or should know. I hope it gave you a glimpse of understanding of what the original language of the New Testament sort of shed a light on it a little bit for you. And as we can look through these words, we see how these original Greek words mean so much more. As we've looked at some of these words, they have helped us get a clear understanding of how we should live our Christian life and why we live our Christian life the way we do and why we do things the way we do and how we should be doing things for God. So just a quick review. I'm not going to give you a pop test here. Maybe I will. But just a quick review. We have looked at some very interesting words. Anybody remember what this word meant? It is finished, tetelestai. It is finished. It has been paid in full. It was the sixth saying of Christ on the cross. And he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. And he was talking about the work of Christ and the will of the Father. It was all finished. It was paid in full. Nothing that we can do can add to the work of Christ on the cross for our salvation. Tetelestai. How about this word? Sozo, what does it mean? To be saved, to be redeemed, to be made whole. Before we were saved, we had an emptiness inside of us. When we got saved, Christ filled that emptiness, and we were made whole. Sozo. How about this word? Baptizo. Somebody's been practicing saying them. Baptizo. Baptizo means to be baptized by immersion. It means to be submerged. And so that is how we and our church practice baptism is the biblical method of going under the water. Baptizo means to be submerged. How about this word? Very good. Peripateo. That's my favorite word to say. Peripateo. I don't know why, it just sounds fun. Peripateo. What does peripateo mean? Very good. To walk. And it means a little bit more than that. It talks about our Christian walk. It describes the spiritual lifestyle of the individual believer, how we are to conduct ourselves. Peripateo. How about this word? Oxano. Oxano. And what does oxano mean? Very good. It's talking about our growth. The Christians are to spiritually grow or mature. I heard it. Enduo. Enduo means to what? Put on. To put on. Put on Christ. Put on the whole armor of God. We are to put on Christ and serve Him through God's strength. And not through our own energy and through our own strength. This is a little harder one. Going to an Italian restaurant today. Spudazzo. Spudazzo means to hasten, to endeavor, to be diligent, to labor, to study, to exert your energy. It is spudazzo. I like how a few people have said this one. Gregorio. No, it's not Gregorio. 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 Now we're really talking Italian, aren't we? Gregorio means to what? Be vigilant, to watch. We as Christians know what's coming. If we know what is coming, the return of Christ, we are to be watchful for that, vigilant for that. But we also know the tribulation period is coming. If we know those things, then why aren't we warning those that are perishing? We must be vigilant about the work Christ has given us to do. And then last week's word. This one's tough to say. I practiced this one for a while. Shra has got a S-F-R. Shragidzo. Shragidzo. It means what? Set a seal upon. Means when we got saved, immediately and permanently, the Holy Spirit came in and resided. And we were sealed as God's own. We are God's. And we looked at that last week. That was a powerful study. This week, we're going to the zoo. This week, we go to Zoopieo. Zoopieo. And it means, literally, to cause to live, to give life, to restore life, to quicken. And it would take 3 or 4 weeks to do this word justice. But what a word. I'm glad the Lord showed me this word in the Scriptures over 6 weeks ago. And I have been chomping at the bit to teach this word. And I knew that it was going to be the last word of the series. So turn with me to John chapter 5 and let's look at how God uses this word. It's only mentioned 15 times in the Scripture. And all of those are in 11 verses. 15 times this word is used and they're mentioned in 11 verses in the New Testament. John chapter 5 and verse 21, the Word of God says, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them," that word quickeneth is zoopieo, "for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." We'll come back to these. Romans chapter 8, just show you a few instances of this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." The word quicken is zoopieo. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. Made alive is zoapieo. One day Christ is going to resurrect this dead body in the grave and make it alive. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Quickening, zoapieo. Two more, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21. The Word of God says in verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? Watch this verse. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, that's zoapieo, given life. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. And we know it's not. It's by Christ and His sacrifice. And then the last one we'll look at today is 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, look with me in verse 18. 1 Peter 3, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Zoapieo is made up of two parts. You can break it at zo or zu. Zoa is the first part of this word. And zoa means life. It means in the same sense of resurrection life or resurrected life. This is indicated throughout these verses that we have read by the word quickened. Zoapieo in 1 Corinthians 15, 45 that we looked at where Adam was first made a living soul and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Is talking about the resurrected person, our Lord, our Savior. He was quickened, and He will quicken others. That's the first part of this word, zoa. And then pieo is the second part of this word, and it means to make, in the sense of production, or to produce, or construct, or form, or fashion. So you put both of these words together and they mean to make alive a resurrected being. To construct alive resurrected life. That's what Christ is going to do for us. So as we look at some of these verses, let's go back to Romans chapter number 8. There is two senses of this word in the New Testament, and we'll look at both, one more than the other. But we'll look at both instances and meanings of this word in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, we've read where it says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and He does, if you've asked Christ in your heart, you've confessed your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the same Spirit that resided in Jesus resides in you, the Holy Spirit of God. He says, but if the Spirit of Him, that Him is God, the Father, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make you alive, make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. If the new nature from God dwells in us, and we've talked about how to get that new nature, accept Christ as your Savior. If you accept Christ as your Savior, you have an old nature that lives inside of you, the flesh, and you have the new nature now of God that lives inside of you. If you have this new nature from God dwelling in you, then he will someday make alive or fashion alive this body of clay, of dust, when it dies and goes into the grave. That's what Romans 8:11 means. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, let's look at two verses here, verses 18 and 19. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, once suffered for sins, the just, Christ is the just, for the unjust, that is us, unworthy, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Man, we could teach a whole lesson on that. Our Lord was quickened by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. Our Lord was made alive in that tomb as a resurrection being, as given the glorified body. As such, he went and made a proclamation to the spirits that were, as it says here in 1 Peter, in prison. As we know, that talks about in death, the Old Testament saints. Zoapieo, though, does not talk about reincarnation. It talks about resurrection. We're not made alive into some other being or some other animal or some other object. We do not believe in reincarnation. Our Bible teaches us about resurrection, and this resurrection is taking this body when it goes into the grave and decays and rots. God, by His power, is going to come back and give it new life, raising it from the dead, zoapieo, restoring life into a better being, a glorified being, and marrying that with our spirit and our soul. Zoapieo provides us with a particular aspect of the resurrection. Other words in our Bibles talk about resurrection. An awakening, a standing up, a transformation. Those are other Greek words. But zoapieo indicates that resurrection will be a recreation that provides points to the workmanship of God. Nobody else can bring a dead body to life. No one but God Himself can bring this dead body back to life. The power. God was the architect and the creator of Adam. He breathed into Adam the breath of life. He will be the architect and the creator of the Christian in resurrection. He will produce us alive in the sense of putting us back together, infusing us with life. He will speak, and the earth will bring forth the dead. But there's another use of this word, one that we can listen and hear to today, of zoapieo, and it's found in Ephesians chapter number 2. If you look and you go home and you look up these verses, it's not going to be spelled out in these verses in the Greek in zoapieo. It has a prefix. It has two letters in the beginning of the zoapieo, and it's S-U. It's a prefix, and it changes the meaning a little bit. So S-U goes before zoapieo, and it's su-zoapieo is what it means here in Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. In verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. These verses, and there's one in Colossians we'll look at, means to make one alive now with Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened. Put your name there. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was us. Before we accepted Christ, this was us. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We walked according to the course of this world. I pray that's not a testimony of you today, that you're walking more of the course of God. That's peripateo there, walked. According to the course of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, we were the children of Satan. We were the children of the devil before we were saved. We were dead in our trespasses, in our sins. And when we came to the realization that we were sinners and that we needed a Savior, and that Savior was none only but Jesus Christ Himself and no other, and that we could not be saved by anything we did on our own, but what He did for us, He quickened us. He suzoapieo, He made us alive with Christ at that moment. Sozo, He redeemed us. He saved us. He made us whole. In verse 5 it says, and when ye were dead in sins. It's like, I wasn't dead. No, not physically, but spiritually you were dead. We were born dead people. We were dead in our sins because of our father Adam. The sins of the world came upon mankind because of Adam's choice to sin. So when you were born, the blood of Adam has gone through the ages, and that sin is in that blood of mankind. And it came upon us as at our birth, or at our conception, we were born dead. But when we trusted Christ, we were made alive to live forever with God. Look with me in Colossians chapter number 2. See, I can't do this word justice in 30 minutes. Colossians chapter 2, look with me in verse 13. These verses that we're looking at now reference the act of God imparting divine life to believing sinners. Prior to our salvation, we needed a Savior. We were just dead. But at the moment of our salvation, He came in. Colossians 2 and verse 13. And you, put your name there, and you, make it personal. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together. What's those next two words? With Him. He has made us alive with Him. Today, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have been made alive by Christ. You are no longer dead in your trespasses and sin.
And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him. Love this last part. Having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. He not only restored our life, He not only made us alive and gave us life, He forgave all trespasses. You say, well, what about my future sins? When Christ died on the cross, all of our sins were in the future. He died for all of our sins. We are no longer held by the trespasses and sins and the judgment of our sin. We have been made alive. Now, that doesn't give us the right to live however we want. We have an obligation to live for God and to serve God and to live a clean life for God. And when we do fall and we do sin, that's why 1 John 1, 8 and 9 are in the Bible. But He made us alive when we were dead. And when we're going to be dead physically, He's going to make us alive again. All of this is possible. All of this, zoapieo, is possible because of this one word. Because Christ sacrificed Himself. Because Christ humbled Himself and came to this earth and was willing to bleed and die for my sins and your sins. And when the temptations came and He refused and said, no, I'm not going to be tempted to sin. And when He's in the garden praying, Lord, if it be Your will, take this from me. And he knew that His path led to Calvary. He completed the entire will of the Father. He completed the entire work that God had given Him to do. And when He hung on the cross, right before He gave up the ghost, He yelled out, Tetelestai, it's paid in full. It's finished. That's how we can be zoapieo today. And when the future we die, we can have zoapieo. We can be made alive to live with God forever because of Christ's sacrifice. And because of tetelestai, we can sozo, we can be redeemed. And because of sozo, we should want to follow God and baptizo and to follow Him by the proper mode and the proper method of baptism. And when we are baptized, we should want to peripateo. We should want to walk for God. We should want to live for God. And because of that, we should oxano. We should begin to grow for God and be not just little babes sitting on a pew doing nothing for God. We should want to be stirred up and to do something for God. And to do that, we have to enduo, we have to put on Christ. We have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to go in His strength and in His power and in His energy. Because if not, we'll fail. And all these other words that we've looked at, they all apply, go back to tetelestai. If Christ did not come, we would have no hope. We'd have no hope. There'd be no hope for us at all. But because He did come, we have hope. Praise the Lord for Him. Look with me just briefly at John chapter 11. Let me show you what Christ did for us. John chapter 11. Look with me, John 11 and verse 25. Jesus said unto her, here we have the raising of Lazarus. Jesus is talking to Mary, to Martha, and He says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, and we all were, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. You're like, well, I'm going to die. It's a human thing. We're all going to die one day unless the Lord comes for us before our time. We're all going to die. This body's going to go into the grave. He says, ye shall never die. How is that possible? Because He's going to make us alive. So I'll be able. Look with me in John chapter 6 and verse 37. John chapter 6 and verse 37. Bible says, all that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. And him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. If we come to Christ humbly, asking for forgiveness, He's going to welcome us in. No one is forbidden to come. For I came down from heaven. Thank You, Lord, for that. For I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent Me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day to be made alive." 1 Thessalonians is a very familiar portion of Scripture to be talking about resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Look with me in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died and are in the grave, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Be made alive, those that are asleep in the grave. We could also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verses 12 through 22 and see similar about Christ raising the dead, giving us everlasting life. But I'd like to share with you just a quick story that really sums this all up. It was a little boy who was born with a deformed body and a slow mind. At the age of 12, he was still in second grade. He was seemingly unable to learn. While his teacher often became exasperated with him, he would squirm in his seat, drool, and make grunting noises. At other times, he spoke clearly and distinctly, as if a spot of light had penetrated the darkness of his brain. One day, his teacher called his parents and asked them for a consultation. She says, "Isn't it time that maybe we moved your son to a lower grade, that he would not disturb the class and maybe he would learn something beneficial for him?" By the way, she had 18 other students she needed to teach. But no, the parents would not give in. "Let's leave him in the class." So the teacher is praying and asking in a Christian school, asking the Lord to help her. A little student one day came up to her desk and said, called her by name, said, "I love you. Thank you for being my teacher." Broke her heart. Springtime came, and she gave the children an assignment. She had been teaching of Christ dying on the cross and going into the tomb, being resurrected from the tomb. She gave the children an assignment. She says, "I want you to go," and she's going to give them all a little plastic egg. "And I want you to take this egg, take it home, and bring it back tomorrow with something inside that shows new life." She asked the class, "Do you understand?" "Yes, yes." Even the little boy seemed excited, his eyes very bright. She didn't know if he understood about the resurrection. She didn't know if he understood the assignment. Perhaps she should call his parents and explain it, but she did not. The next morning, school bell rang. The children all piled into the class laughing and talking about the assignment. They all brought their eggs and placed them in a wicker basket on the teacher's desk. And one by one, the teacher starts opening them. One egg, there is a flower. Another egg is a butterfly. Another egg is blades of grass. All beautiful examples of new life in the spring. She opened up one egg, though, and it's empty. Completely empty. Knowing it's probably the poor boy's egg and he didn't understand. She didn't want to embarrass him, so she sets it aside. And he's watching her. He says, "Teacher, aren't you going to open my egg and explain what's in my egg?" She said, "There's nothing in it." He said, yeah, but there was nothing in the tomb either. Christ had been resurrected from the grave, Zoa Pieo, by the Spirit of God. One day, our grave will be empty. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have been made alive today. You have been su Zoa Pieo, alive with Christ today. And when this body goes into the grave, one day I have a promise that He's going to make it alive again. And I will ever be with the Lord, just as you will. He loves us. He died for us. He wants us to live for Him and to serve Him. Look about you and see what you can do for God. You're His servant. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and He owns you. You are His. This body is His temple. What are we doing for God today? If you say, there's nothing that I can do or nothing that needs being done, come talk to me or Brother Keith or Pastor. We'll find you something to do. There's plenty to be done here. There is a work that needs to be done here in Clayton, North Carolina. There is a work that needs to be done at Fellowship Baptist Church and in this community and the areas that we live. Let's get busy for God, because we have been made alive to serve Him. Lord, what a great series. Thank You for speaking to my own heart through this series, touching me, dear Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that You would help us to take these words, these simple words that mean so much. It's no accident that the Holy Spirit of God inspired these New Testament writers to write these particular words. They were not chosen by Matthew and Mark or Luke or John or Peter or Paul. These words were not chosen by them. They were chosen by You to give us emphasis where we are to be living for You. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to study the Word of God, to make it a part of our lives, make it precious to us, and help us, Lord, to go forth laboring for You. We love You, Lord. We thank You for our salvation. Help us never to get over what You have done for us. Guide and direct in the next service. Bless our pastor. Give him strength from on high. Give him the power of God to preach Your Word. Bless all that will be in attendance here and on the hill. Speak to hearts, save the lost, encourage the discouraged sinner, the saints. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask this.